First of all, thank you, Sydney, for that beautiful accomplishment.
Yes.
She and her twin, Sierra, will be performing with us during our Christmas cantata. And we have some others, too, but please come out. It's the Sunday before Christmas, and you'll get to hear these, both of these young ladies then. So thanks again. The scripture this morning, and I hope you all can hear me, comes from the Old Testament, Isaiah 65, 17 through 25, found on page 696 of your Pew Bibles, if you would like to follow along. Isaiah 65, 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring, blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. For the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountains, says the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 6 through 13, down on page 207. Second Thessalonians, chapter 3, 6 through 13. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they have received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we work night and day, so that we might not burden any of you. Thus was not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command. Anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now, such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, my mind be acceptable to thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Do what is right. In order to do what is right, you have to know what is right. How do we know what is right? I mean, culture tells us what we can do. There are laws that are written down on the books, And yes, Carol, there's a book in every pew. It's called the Holy Bible. Those 66 books, those scriptures, that's the Word of God. That's a guide that teaches us, shows us, demonstrates to us. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. It should be each and every one of our lifelong ambition, our goal, our purpose in life, to someday be in the presence of God Almighty, the Creator, with our parents who've gone before, with all the saints who have gone before, those that we love and cherish and treasure, who are no longer here with us. You know, we're going to see them again. That's the promise that we all have. But there's a condition to that promise. And is that is, we must stay true to the faith. We must do all those things that Jesus has told us to do. Now, that, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that getting to heaven is a to-do list, or that if I do this, then I'll do that. And God is obligated to save me. He has already saved us. The cross on which He hung was where He said, it is finished. And what was it that was finished? Everything? It was 2,000 years ago. How could it all be finished? There's still things unfolding. There are still the sun going up, coming up, the sun going down. Anybody see the last few moons? Getting more and more awesome. But those are things that we can see that are evident. You know what faith is? Faith is a hope for things not yet seen. You know, 1 Thessalonians, when that trumpet sounds and the clouds part and Jesus descends again, that's something greater than anything we've ever seen. It's going to get even better. The best sunrise, the best sunset, the most awesome. I don't care if you saw it while you're out in the middle of the ocean. And some of those are beautiful. Whether you were in the Caribbean or wherever. The ones in the Persian Gulf weren't all that great. But, you know, they can be pretty. But what God promises us is something that defies anything that we could compare it with. And that's our goal. And we don't get there because of what we've done. We get there because of what He has already done. We confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord. We believe in our hearts that God raised Him up on the third day. And He's coming back. That's what gets us in a right relationship with God. Baptism is when we bring our children forward, or when we reach that decision point in our lives where, Lord, I'm not perfect. And I don't expect you to wave a wand and make me perfect. But I want to start on that path. Sanctification. That's where the Holy Spirit works on us. That's where the Holy Spirit works on you. That's where the Holy Spirit works on me. Well, the scriptures for today. Yeah, I am going to get to the scriptures. In 2 Thessalonians, we know that Paul's writings were in response to something that was going on in one of those churches. And we know at 1 and 2 Thessalonians, one of the big challenges for the church at Thessalonica was that so many of that first generation believers, followers of the way, they weren't really called Christians just yet, but they were dying. And there was a real concern of people living, well, I thought there was an urgency. I thought the kingdom was at hand. I thought the kingdom was here. And God's not come back. When's He coming back? And there was a concern. And one of the other challenges was that after Pentecost in Jerusalem, all of the believers, all those people came together And they brought everything and held it in common, all their property. They sold it, or they lived on that property. They lived in a community of believers. Well, guess what happens if everybody just, you know, if the Lord, the day of the Lord's coming, we're just going to sell everything and we're just going to wait for him to come back. Well, how long is that going to work? No one knows when he's coming back, not even the Son. Only God the Father knows when Jesus is going to come back. So what is it left for us to do? You and I are to labor, to do those things that are productive, to support ourselves, and not only to support ourselves, but to work diligently, to labor and save and share with our brothers and sisters. You know, Paul, he was a great theologian, and he was a great preacher, and he just went out, and Priscilla and Aquila, those of you who think the scriptures don't have women in it, Paul would not have survived without Priscilla and Aquila, supported him. Well, not totally true. Paul was a tent maker by trade. He sewed and repaired tents and made tents his entire life. He worked, he labored. And he tells each and every one of us that that's what we should be doing. If we have a trade, if we have a skill, if we have a gift, if we have a talent, then we should do that, continue to do that, so that we can support and help others who are in need. And just because we put on a cross and now are called ministers, Fred, stand up, please. Yesterday, Fred Dant graduated from his theological studies. University of Missouri?
Missouri School of Religion.
Missouri School of Religion. And, you know, they didn't give him a certificate. They sent him a cross, which is probably better than any certificate. Actually, I think the certificate's in the mail, right?
It's in the mail, along with a stone.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So let's just put that out there. There are those people who have gifts and talents, and we are meant to work. We're supposed to work. We're supposed to labor. Not because we're going to, by laboring, we're going to earn our way into the kingdom of God, because that price to get into the kingdom is one that you and I can't pay. If we could, then there'd be no reason for Christ to go to the cross. Because you and I can't, that's why God sent his Son to the cross for you and I. And you know what? He sent Jesus went to the cross to save us. Absolutely. That was Christ's purpose in life. But you know what? God doesn't live on just one track. God is doing multiple things all along, because not only was Christ coming to save us by going to the cross to pay for the sin, the blood price for our sins, but he came to show us the way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He tells his disciples to love one another as I have loved you. He said that they will know you are Christians by what? By your love. In other words, you demonstrate how you're following who you're following. Paul, very strongly in verse 6, says, now we command you. He's not saying it's a nice recommendation. This is just one of these things I'd like you to know, or I'd like you to do. He says, we command you, that royal we. But he doesn't stop there. Beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He cannot word it more strongly. Paul is urging with all of his being for people to do this. To keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. Follow the example. If there's someone out there that's doing something that's wrong, do you want your children to follow that example? I certainly wouldn't. You want your children to follow the example that leads them to a fulfillment, a life that's worthy of living. Living in idleness. Here was the other piece. Because they took all this property and held it in together as a community, many of them stopped working. Now, if Tommy and his crews don't go out there and plant the crops and water and work the field, how many cantaloupe do you think they're going to harvest at the end of the season? How many of those great peppers are we going to get? Nada. If you want something, you got to work for it. Paul says this was not because we didn't have the right to do. He was tasked by God, commissioned by Christ, to preach the way. And that's what he was doing. Now, he could have said, listen, I'm out here preaching and teaching, and that's my avocation and my vocation, and I don't have to work anymore. Paul's not saying that. Paul's saying he's going to preach and teach and sow tents and work. He says in verse 10, for even when we were with you, we gave you this command. Anyone unwilling to work should not eat. Now, don't read too much into that saying, well, gosh, if they're not out there working, then all these people that are receiving welfare or assistance or another thing, well, then we'll just cut them off because they're not working. No, there are some people, circumstances and situations in their lives, whether they're disabled, unable to work, there isn't a job, so we're going to cut them off? No. We still work with them and help, but we should be providing them opportunities to pull themselves up. You give people hand ups, not handouts. How many families, 64 families, received food this fall? How many bags, 180 some? That's not a handout. That was a hand up. You know, the 280 some bags that came in, 280 some families that helped us provide that food, that's a community involvement. That's a community that's dedicated. That's a community that's committed to helping brothers and sisters who are in need. Where they can work, yes. As they're able to work, yes. But we still love them, and we still give to them. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. I'm in verse 11. One of the challenges was they thought because the world is going to end, Christ is going to come back, well, we'll just kick back and relax. It's not worth us working anymore. No, if we knew the Lord was going to come back tomorrow morning, okay, you could maybe make that argument. We could be kneeling and praying. We could better use the 12 hours between now and then. But we don't know when God's coming back. So he wants us to continue to do the work that needs to be done to train our children, to educate our children, to support our families, to support our communities, and to serve our country. Paul in verse 12, now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he's not just saying it's nice if you would do this. He's exhorting. He is encouraging. He is motivating you in the most positive way to do what is right, to do your work quietly and to earn your living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. First point for this sermon. You know, you don't hang around and associate with people who are idle and aren't doing anything. I mean, if you spend your time, all your time and all your life around people who have nothing else to do and don't want to make anything of their lives, you know, kind of life imitates. Don't do that. Be productive. Do those things. Because there's not a single one of you that doesn't have gifts and talents that God gave you alone. You're the only one that has that gift and talent. You don't want me to try and play that flute. You don't. Come on.
You don't want me to try to play that organ, and you certainly don't want me to try to play that piano. Or a saxophone, either. But I know God called me and sent me out there on a ship. And I know He called me and sent me here. We need to be doing what is right. And what is right is what God has set up for us to be doing. Heaven forbid if we were to kick back and just relax and just say, it doesn't matter. It does. Do what is right. And what is right is what God has intended for you. Is it feeding the hungry? Is it visiting the poor? Is it visiting the ones in prison? Is it visiting those that are in need of medical attention? Absolutely. Each and every one of you has a unique gift and talent. Some of you probably have skill sets. Right? Skill sets. And it's not just a flow chart. It's not just a flow chart. If this, then that. But if you don't follow this, I don't know where you're going to end up. If you do follow this and you trust, Micah 6:8, know justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Do what is right. Do what is right. Serve God. Shalom.